The opportunity and the privilege to be able to stand before you. This is not something that I take lightly whatsoever. It's not something that I think I'm entitled to. It's something that the Lord had to kind of nudge me more than once. And I'm so thankful that I'm able to spread the word and speak the word tonight. Before you're seated, if you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 1, verses 45 through 51. I give honor to you for everyone who's come to church tonight, and I give honor to my pastor tonight. Thankful for his leadership and for allowing me to stand before you. The reading is going to be a little bit lengthy, but if you would just bear with me for a few moments, we'll go through it. John chapter 1, verse 45 through 51. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Verse 50 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Let's pray and ask God to meet every need that is in this place tonight. Speak to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to come before you tonight, oh Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us. You see every individual need that is in this place, and even the needs of us as a corporate body. And I pray tonight as we walk away from this place, after we've prayed, oh Lord, and sought your face, that you will speak to us, oh Lord, and that we will receive from you and take from this place tonight, oh Lord, what you have for us to receive. Bless it tonight, oh Lord, and have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I've entitled this sermon tonight, Simple Faith. Simple Faith. There's a big difference between following Jesus because we've been told who he is, as opposed to having a personal revelation of who he is. In following him, we can receive blessings and miracles just in merely following Jesus. But a revelation of who he is will lead us to a permanent change in our lives. In merely following Jesus, the loaves and the fishes will satisfy. But when we have divine revelation, we will live by the Beatitudes. When we follow him, coming to church once or twice per week will soothe the conscience. But when we have a revelation of who he is, we devote our lives to him. Revelation follows simple faith in Jesus Christ. In the scripture text that we just read, that story, part of the story there, John the Baptist's ministry was coming to a close, and he had recently recognized as Jesus was the Messiah. When Jesus came to be baptized by him, John the Baptist would also tell his disciples to follow Jesus. Two of those disciples, the Bible says two of his disciples followed Jesus. One of them was Andrew. Andrew went and found his brother Peter and witnessed to him and brought him to Jesus. Jesus on another day was, the following day was walking. And the Bible says he found Philip and called him to follow him. Philip went and got his best friend, Nathanael. And in verse 46, we read this, his response to Philip. When Nathanael said to him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Then Jesus and Nathanael had a curious encounter and a short conversation. And that leaves, which leaves Nathanael with an awesome revelation that stuns Jesus. In verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Just after a short conversation, and this is where in verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto you that I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou in me?" Just because I said I saw you, you believe me? "Thou shalt see greater things than these." And when Jesus revealed to Nathanael that he saw him, when Jesus revealed to Nathanael that I knew you before you knew me, before your friend Philip did, Nathanael's understanding was opened to the revelation of who Jesus was. That's all it took for Nathanael. He hadn't yet seen Jesus perform any miracles, because at this point in time, this was at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. It wasn't until the following day that he turned water to wine. And at this point, he'd only called about 4 to 6 of his disciples to follow him. Son of God, when Nathanael said, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Son of God to me denotes holy, exalted, God manifest in the flesh, the only begotten of the Father, nobody like him. So when you say the Son of God, you're representing God, who God is. It, sometimes we can look at, when we see God, it's almost like this being that's flying at 30,000 miles above where we are. Does he really know where we are and what's going on in our lives? But then Nathanael makes another proclamation to him. He said, "You are the King of Israel." And when you call somebody a king, when you call someone a ruler, it denotes that this is now personal. You're now my king. You're now my ruler. You're my Lord. You're my champion. And you are a very present leader. I believe at that moment, Nathanael realized Jesus knew everything about him, knew what he said to Philip, heard what he said to him, and there was no hiding at this point. If Jesus saw him before Philip did, then he must also know my thoughts. And what he said to Philip about nothing good coming out of Nazareth. So Nathanael did the next best thing. And what he did was confess that Jesus is everything. That this revelation of Jesus not only being the God of the universe, but who also knew me before I knew him, it changes everything. When Jesus, when we come to the Lord and we realize that he knows everything about our lives, it changed at that point, it should change everything. His response to Jesus demonstrated faith, which then brought a promise from Jesus. Jesus, again, in my words, in my interpretation, was saying to Nathanael, "Nathanael, you mean to tell me that you believe I am the Son of God, the King of Israel, just because I said that I saw you? You didn't see me perform not one miracle yet. I didn't have to meet any need of yours before you believed in me. Wow, Nathanael, because of your simple faith, you will see great things to come." Jesus made reference to angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And only one other time in Scripture was this ever denoted in Scripture. And that was in Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob prayed before the Lord, when he was running away and going to his mother's household. And when he prayed that night in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, the Bible says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." And this basically tells us that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. We know that the Bible also tells us that The angels are ministering spirits to the children of God. So when this vision is given and when Jesus tells Nathanael this, he says, basically, he's saying to him, Nathanael, you're going to see great things. You're going to see not only is your faith great now, but you're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see who I really am. You're going to see that the angels go back and forth. You're going to see that I am the mediator between God and man. And everything that you ask for, you will receive. God wants us all to have a clear revelation of who he is. Because it's then and only then that we will see great things from him. Later on, he made certain that his disciples had a revelation of who he is. And this is how important Jesus thought that it was that they for them to have a revelation. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We hear that scripture all the time. So going back, Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew, in the story in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Jesus asks his disciples, he says, who do people say that I am? They answered him and they said, some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Jeremiah. They say that you're one of the prophets. But then Jesus says to them, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up for the group. And I don't believe Peter is not the only one that had this revelation, because we've heard in John chapter 1 that Nathanael had this revelation of who Jesus was from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, you really don't hear about Nathanael much else in the Bible. He had that revelation. The next time, Nathanael is also called Bartholomew. When you see his name, he's named him with the disciples. You don't hear any great things from him. History doesn't really tell us what became of Nathanael. They church historians think that he was one that was also martyred. But we really don't know, but we know that he had a revelation of who Jesus was from the beginning. But Peter spoke up at this point. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. God revealed this to you and not man. And here's the significance. Notice that when the disciples responded to Jesus and they told him, who do people say that I am? They started to name the prophets. They started to name Elijah. They started to name all these other people. They started to name the miracle workers. They started to name those that prophesied of events to come, that did great things, that did great signs and wonders. But I believe, however, Jesus needed them to understand that he was more than just a miracle worker. He needed them to know that it's important for them to have a revelation of who he is for themselves, as opposed to who the world thinks that he is, as opposed to who the world is saying that he is. In this day that we live, there's a lot of people today in the news media and politicians and all of these people. They're misquoting the Bible. And if we're not careful, we'll hear them quote the Bible and use scriptures as it pertains to this event or that event. And you look at that and you're like, that don't go like that. You're wrong about that. And if we're not careful, we will believe and we will fall into that trap. That's why Jesus wants us to know, have a revelation of who he really is. That he is a Son of God and that he's a King of Israel. He is a God over all, and that he is the King of our lives. He's also our personal Savior. It's amazing when you go through a difficult trial in your life and you look around at the past blessings and we look at the people and the things that God has blessed and placed in our lives, and we're very thankful for them. But to be transparent, at that very moment, those things aren't really of much comfort to you when you're going through a need in your life. It's in those times that we need to have simple faith in God with the revelation of who he is for the situation that I'm dealing with. It is important for each of us to have the revelation of who Jesus is. Simple faith is not about a beautiful building. It's not about great people. It's not about great music. It's not about great leadership. It's about Jesus becoming the author of our life story. It let him be the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what he wants to be. When Nathanael came to Jesus, with some sort of social or class bias or prejudice. When Philip brought him to Jesus, he said to Philip, "Can any good thing come out of Galilee?" That was a bias that was coming through from his heart. So Nathanael had some issues. He was from Cana, and Jesus was from Galilee. Maybe that's where the rivalry was. Maybe one town looked at the other one as nothing spectacular. But there was practically, when you read about these two places, there was practically no difference between the two locations. There was nothing spectacular about them at all. There was nothing rich about them at all. It was poor. Nothing great coming out of there. And yet still, Nathanael was able, his bias and his prejudice came forth. He was expressing that prejudice. Pride is one of the things, if I could say this, pride is one of the things that lead to prejudice. God hates pride. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. It was that sin of pride that had got Lucifer cast out of heaven. But Jesus' first words to Nathanael were, this is how great Jesus is. John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." How could you say that, Lord? You already told him that you saw him under the fig tree. You know the thoughts of his heart. You know what's going through his mind. But this is what I believe. Jesus saw the man for who he would become after his encounter with him. Not the person in the state that he was in coming towards him. So when Jesus sees you and I coming towards him, guess what he sees? He sees the greatness that he has for us to become. Whatever the bias is that came, we come to God with all kinds of biases. That includes racial, class, intellectual, religious. But when we receive a revelation of who Jesus is, then we realize that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. You see, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. It doesn't matter who we are, where we came from, how we were brought up. It doesn't matter. At the foot of the cross, everybody is the same to him. And I'm thankful for that. After Jesus spoke to Nathanael, this new disciple, Nathanael, right away shed some layers and got rid of that. He immediately recognized that he was in the presence of the Son of God, the King of Israel, which allowed Jesus to respond to him with a promise. And when we recognize who Jesus is, we need to have that simple faith so that the promises of God will be activated in our lives. All our attitudes of bias or prejudice or preconceived or ill-informed beliefs of who Jesus is should now be given to the one true living God. He is God over everything, the Lord of lords, and he is a King of kings. When Nathanael received this revelation, everything else faded. And faith came to the forefront of his life. A faith that is so simple, a faith that is so pure, that it is also great faith. We have added so many layers a lot of times in our lives that our faith becomes polluted and barely recognizable. But oh God, help us to have simple faith in you. Simplicity will beat confusion any day of the week. The crowds were at another time in the ministry of Jesus. The crowds were pressing in on Jesus, and the disciples, some people were there for the fanfare. Some were spectators wanting to get a good look at Jesus, maybe a good look at him before they committed to him. And some were there, they were probably cynical. But then there was this lady who was suffering for 12 years with an issue of blood, who, while everybody else was there for whatever reason, they were there to see Jesus. She snuck up behind him with her simple faith and touched the hem of his garment. At this particular point, Jesus turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" Now, this was a crowd. The crowd stopped immediately. And he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples and everybody else must have looked at each other and said, "Who touched me? Everyone's touching you. It's crowded here. People are pushing in on you, pushing in against you." And at this point, people were afraid, because the Bible says it wasn't me. All these denials started going forth about who touched him. So after the confusion, some confusion about who was responsible for the healing virtue that left him, this lady nervously, the Bible says trembling, stepped up and confessed to him. And to everyone else there, she not only told Jesus, she confessed to everyone what she did, why she did it, what was happening in her life, and the healing that she received because of her simple faith in him. Jesus turned to her in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, and he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." He didn't have to do that. He could have kept walking. Here's what the word whole means. Whole, according to Strong's Concordance, is to make well, heal, restore to health. But this is what it also means: to save, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment. When Jesus said, turned around, he wanted to recognize her, tell that she was healed. She came to Jesus for a healing, however she heard of him, but she turned around and left with salvation. Jesus not only healed her, but he saved her soul. This is how Jesus is. One simple act of faith not only healed her physical body, but also brought her salvation. You see, this lady wasn't supposed to be where she was. According to the law, because of her condition, it was a very serious condition, and because of her bleeding condition, she was deemed unclean. She wasn't allowed to go into the temple. She wasn't allowed to touch anybody else, because anybody else that she touched was also unclean. So can you imagine when she came to Jesus and Jesus turned around and recognized her, and then she had to admit what her problem was, why she was there, and she got healed. And Jesus made it known to everyone there who she was, and that he healed her, and that he made her whole. I don't know about anybody else that was there that felt they were unclean. That's their business. But she got whole, and she was clean, and God healed her. In another story, another act of simple faith, a centurion heard about Jesus. And because his servant was sick unto death, Jewish leaders and elders sent his servants, these Jewish elders, to ask Jesus to come and heal his servant that was sick unto death. And as Jesus was getting closer to the centurion's home, the centurion now is a Roman centurion, over 100 soldiers or more. Centurion sent friends to tell Jesus, as Jesus was approaching the home, he said, "Don't bother coming to my home, because I myself would have come to you, but I didn't think I was worthy enough to come to you. All you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed." The centurion understood something about authority. He understood the authority that Jesus had, because he himself was in authority over other soldiers and over other servants. So he knew that when I give commands to people, things get done and they get done right away. That's the authority that the centurion had over the people he was over. So for some reason, this centurion had a revelation of who Jesus was. And so he told his friends to tell Jesus, "Don't come. All I know is that if you speak the word from where you are, my servant will be healed." Jesus, again, was taken aback by this. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Simple faith and understanding of who Jesus is will change our circumstances. And to have simple faith is to have great faith. Recently, I heard a song. The title of the song is "Most Beautiful," and the words to it say, they go, some of the words say this: "With just one look, I'm captivated. I'll never be the same. With just one look. On Calvary, you looked at me. On Calvary, you looked at me. With just one look, everything changes. I'm captivated. I'll never be the same. With just one look." And what we have tonight is a revelation of who Jesus is. And when we understand who Jesus is, we understand that he's making permanent changes in our life. We understand that we can come before him with simple faith and believe on him that he will do whatsoever we ask him to do. When Jesus spoke to Nathanael, Nathanael did not turn to Philip and say, "You know, Philip, I'm not sure about this." He didn't convene with the other disciples at the time and debate whether he should follow Jesus or not. There was no going back home to take care of business. There was no, "Well, this man is from a different city than I am. He was brought up differently from I am brought up." No, Nathanael simply followed Jesus without question. He simply believed on him without question because his heart was sincere and his faith was real. Nathanael overcame whatever prejudice that he had. The problem sometimes is when we come to the Lord, there's some layers that we have in our lives. And we cannot allow reasons, excuses, or biases, conscious or unconscious biases, to get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives, to prevent the glory of God from being revealed in our lives. We must be careful to bring to the Lord everything that we struggle with, all the biases, all the prejudices, all the things that we deal with, just like Nathanael did, and especially those unconscious ones. Sometimes we don't realize the things that lay dormant in our hearts. Due to societal pressures, due to the way that we were raised, due to the things that we are led to believe. And the Bible does say in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But when we come to Jesus, there are some things that we don't know that may exist in our hearts. And when things happen in life and for whatever reason, we become aware of things and all of a sudden something rises up in our spirit that doesn't feel good, we need to give it to the Lord right away. Any thought or feeling that opposes love and compassion needs to be surrendered to God. Nathanael surrendered to Jesus right away. Oh God, help us. Help us to remove the layers and have simple faith in you. For a few months, several years ago, I worked for a mortgage company. And one of the things that I learned is that when you apply for a mortgage, especially with a big institution, there are certain layers that they put over what the government has already put in place. So if you are a person that comes with less than great credit, or not as much money as you would like to have, or any other issues, because of the layers that are in place from those institutions, you're going to be turned away. But in the last several years, things have changed. Where in the marketplace that you don't have to have restrictive layers so you can apply with the same issues and within a few seconds you can find a lender that will approve you for the most part. Coming to God is much the same way. We come to Him with our issues and He'll take them. And He'll give us a new heart right away. We don't have to wait for great things to happen before He does this. Before we have faith in God. We don't have to wait for the sky to light up before we have faith in God. When we believe first, then His awesome splendor will be displayed. We can say, I want to see the glory of God, and that's okay. His glory will be revealed in our lives. But we simply have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We tend in our society that we live in today to complicate faith. We analyze and rationalize by questioning how, what, when, and where. That's what faith has become. You ask someone about faith, anyone ask you about faith, the first thing someone is going to, they'll say to you is, well, this is what I believe in. Mention the word faith. And I think that's where we run into a lot of problems, and this is where the world, even the Christian world, runs into a lot of problems, because they've left the who of faith to go to try to explain the what of faith. What is faith? Well, faith is we believe that, I believe this, I go to church a couple times a week, that is my faith, that's what I believe. But that is not faith. Faith is in who? Faith is who? It's Jesus. In who Jesus is. We present that to them. Faith is who my confidence is in. Faith says the fact that you knew me before he knew me before I knew him is all I need. Jesus was so impressed by Nathanael's faith that he turned around and he was stunned. And I wonder if anyone in this place tonight can stun Jesus before we leave this place. I wonder if there's anyone in this place now that can respond to a promise that says, you know what, Lord? Because you said it, I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen if it doesn't happen. I'm not going to worry about this, that, or the other. I'm not going to worry about what this family member will think or that family member will think. You said it, I'm going to believe it. It's going to happen. That's what faith is. That's who faith is. When Nathanael came to Jesus, he realized that. The word of God never tells us when Nathanael saw that vision of angels ascending and descending. But however, because Jesus said it, I believe it. I believe at some point Nathanael saw that. Jesus is not a man that he would lie. That promise was not only for Nathanael, but it's also for us. He's not the only one that's promised to see angels ascending and descending. It's also promised to us. And as we stand tonight, as the musicians come, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The question I have for us tonight is, have you heard that he's able? And have you read that he is able? That's when faith comes in. As soon as Nathanael heard that Jesus knew who he was, knew everything about him, that's when faith came into his heart. So if we in this place tonight know who Jesus is, he has called your name already. That's why you're here. That's why we're here tonight. Then we need to come forward and simply believe and simply give our faith to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I believe in who you are. It's not about the what tonight. It's about the who, because that makes all the difference in the world. When we put Jesus first, he becomes everything. So as we come forward in this place tonight, I don't know what situation you may be coming forward with and what you may be dealing with, but I believe we need to get back to a place of simple faith in God. Let's not make it difficult. Let's not make it confusing. Lord, you say who you are. I'm going to believe in who you are. And whenever you give me the promise, whenever you bless, I'm going to leave this place tonight knowing, God, you're doing it. So let's come forward tonight with faith, believing in Jesus Christ.
And your